This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, visit nature.com/podcast.
First up, reporter Adam Levy has made contact with a scientific sleuth.
Elizabeth Bick spends her days reading academic papers. Well, actually, reading might not be the right word.
I can indeed scan hundreds of papers sometimes a day because I just look at the images. I'm just like a four-year-old scanning a book for the pictures.
Elizabeth is a science consultant based in Sunnyvale, California, and she's staring at pictures for a reason, to look for patterns. She's hunting for duplicated images, sometimes which have been flipped, rotated, or digitally manipulated. These can suggest mistakes or malpractice on the part of researchers. And Elizabeth shares her finds with journals, as well as by posting publicly. Initially just a hobby, Elizabeth became hooked and is now a full-time image sleuth. I gave her a call to find out why and how she does what she does.
Once you see those patterns, it's really hard to not see it anymore. You just see the same cell, you know, 4 or 5 or sometimes 10 times in the same photo. Just to see the same thing over and over again in the same photo is just sometimes just hilarious to see that.
What I've found when looking at examples of this kind of thing is that when I just see the example, I am hopeless. And then when the suspect area is circled or indicated in some way, it just feels so obvious and I can't believe I didn't see it in the first place.
That is, I guess, my experience. But yeah, it is hard to explain because in the beginning I thought, well, this is so obvious, and I would send it to a journal editor and they were like, I don't see it. I'm like, well, it's obvious, right? And they're like, no, I don't see it. And then I draw these boxes around it and then they're like, oh, now I see it. So I realized that maybe not everybody sees it the same way as I do, and I need to point it out.
And now I understand that you're doing this not primarily as a job, just doing it for the work itself. So what is your motivation to be going through, as you say, hundreds and hundreds of papers?
The reason I do that is because, so if a science paper has some problems, other people might try to replicate that result, but they might find that it's impossible to do. And if that is because the science paper was maybe fabricated or falsified, then that is a really good reason to flag that paper so that other people are warned that there's a concern about that paper. So I find it very rewarding. I feel I'm sending out a message that there's potentially something wrong with papers and helping others to see that as well.
And I understand it's not just standalone papers sometimes that you uncover issues with. You've sometimes uncovered problems in groups of papers by the same academic groups or authors.
I have found several clusters of papers that were all authored by the same research group. So sometimes I might find 2 or 3 or 10 papers. And in one time, I even found 100 papers, all by the same author, and they all had image problems. So yeah, some of these cases can be quite big.
Now, you're not the only person who does this kind of work, but you're unusual in that you do this quite openly under your own name.
Yes, I do. Most people who do this work are posting under a pseudonym, and that is because this work can be quite risky. I'm, of course, criticizing other people, but a researcher might maybe, you know, not like that so much and decide to sue me. So I need to be very careful in how I word my concerns about a paper. So I'll just say, these two images look remarkably similar. Can you please explain? And hopefully that will keep me safe.
One thing that has been a source of criticism is that you publish your findings publicly. You know, you go to certain social media to talk about the things you've uncovered. Is there a risk that this approach could be counterproductive, potentially causing actual problems further down the line for investigations?
It might be. So when I flag papers, then that could leave the authors with the opportunity to destroy the evidence. But on the other hand, of the 800-something papers that I've reported in 2014 and 2015, only 30% of them have been either corrected or retracted, and the rest is just not touched upon. So they're still out in the open with their duplicated images. So it's very frustrating that it seems that journals or institutes are not really acting upon these allegations. So I try to do it, you know, the official way. But now I'm posting these things online because it's faster. I feel I'm flagging these things. And at least I've warned people in a fast way.
Do you get, I guess, frustrated by how long these things sometimes take to resolve?
Yes, I do. It is very frustrating when I find these problems sometimes in seconds, where I see a duplicated background or a duplicated photo, and it seems so obvious to me, and I report these things to the journals, and then I just don't hear anything back for years. And that's when I take things sometimes to Twitter and say, you know, guys, this is a problem, you should have looked at it. But yeah, some people have called that trial by Twitter, and I can see that, but sometimes nothing has been done. Even though I reported it 5 years ago, this paper is still out there and everybody thought it was fine.
Now, I think many people might hear about this and hear about someone who's literally going through and looking at images on a personal level and think that's quite an old-fashioned way to do it. You know, we've got artificial intelligence and image analysis tools now. Why is this something that a human is still doing?
Because it's really hard to computerize this. I don't know. I like to think of the voice recognition of 10 years ago. I would say yes, and the computer said, you said no. I'm like, no, I said yes. And image recognition is even more complex. It's much harder than people think. But having said that, that will happen.
Do you think as the software improves, you'll be out of work? You won't have anything to do?
No, I think it will take a while before such software is completely up and running. And there's still going to be the need for a human reviewing the results, similarly to plagiarism checkers that are widely used in scientific publishing. A human is still needed to decide that this was an okay reuse of an image.